Our epistle for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure until the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son. Thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. They were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we start with the thought in the epistle today of eternity, a place that we are all heading towards. Not a place that, or a situation that we should be fearful of, but a circumstance that we should be prepared for. Time will come to an end and our eternity will begin. This is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With that being said, we turn towards the gospel and we are definitely reminded of the great sacrament of penance. It's as if Holy Mother of the Church wants us to pause and to consider it and to consider how we make use of it. As you know that when you were preparing for your first communion, first confession, you were taught about the five things that are necessary to make a good confession. If you do not do these five things, then you have not made a good confession. And if you don't make a good confession, when there's a misuse or an abuse of the sacraments, then it's a sacrilege. But if you do these five things, then you reap the benefit of the sacrament that Christ has instituted for our help. But far too often, too many people, they have a bad attitude where it concerns confession. They have a distorted vision of this great gift that God has given to us. They either ignore it, use it according to their own made-up understandings, or they even persecute it. "I don't need to go to confession, I'll just go to God and be forgiven." Well, it's important that you go to God to be forgiven, but Christ has established the way that this is to take place, especially when we consider grave matter. So what are these five things necessary to make a good confession? Just to review, and it's a good thing for all of us to review. First, to find out our sins. It's called an examination of conscience. Now, for those people that wait for a long time to go to confession, this is harder. The layperson is encouraged to go at least once a month, 12 times a year. The layperson's obliged to go one time a year, but they are encouraged to go at least 12 times a year, if not sooner. What are we examining our conscience of? Well, sin. or any barriers, in other words, that exist between ourselves and God. Not what you think or what other people might think. Who cares what other people think? Care what God thinks. But things that actually stand as a barrier between you and God. If those barriers aren't taken down, then you cannot be affected by His goodness and His grace. And He's made it very easy for us to tear down these barriers. But you need the element of humility. Find out your sins. You find out those things that are offensive to God, against His commandments. And then we go on to see faults. Faults necessarily aren't sins. Then we have temptations. And temptations, that's something we're all plagued with. Our Lord Himself was tempted. There are some people who categorize temptations as sins, and well, that's where the sacramental grace of confession will help us to make that determination a little clearer. There are some people who will consider some things that are grave matter only venial sins, and some people who think that things that are venially sinful are grave matter. And that's where we need the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we either become scrupulous or too lenient. And either one is a problem. So when we examine our conscience, and something we ought to do every night before we go to bed and make an act of contrition, but when you go to confession, you examine your conscience of the things you want to confess and why you want to confess them. Find out my sins, which leads us to the second point, which is be sorry for my sins. Why am I sorry for my sins? Because I feel bad. Poor excuse. Wrong. Incorrect. I'm glad you feel bad for sin, but that's not the reason you're sorry. It's like the child that gets caught doing something wrong now feels bad because they're caught. Wrong. You should be sorry because what you did was wrong. And we're sorry for sin because it offends God. If you go to confession because you feel bad, you don't get forgiveness. Impossible. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you go to confession also because you feel bad, well, that's a different story. That's part of contrition. But there are some people that go to confession just because they feel bad. We go to confession because we're sorry. Now, because of our fallen human nature, the good Lord, being goodness Himself, will allow us to have what we call an imperfect contrition. What's an imperfect contrition? Well, that's when we're sorry for sinning because we don't want to go to hell and we want to get to heaven. That's the imperfect. But then again, if we have read any part of Scripture, we would remember the words of our Lord where He says, "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." So what is perfect contrition? Perfect contrition is when we offended God and His love. Is it a feeling? No, it's something higher than a feeling. It's something that comes from the Spirit. And we have to tap in, or we have to engage the higher faculties of intellect and free will. I am sorry. I choose to be sorry because I don't want to offend God and His love. I want the love of God to abide in me and through me. If we want to have any type of a promise of progress where it concerns our spiritual life, we have to take a look at our attitude towards God and how we deal with Him. For example, coming to church on Sunday. Why do you come to church on Sunday? Well, I have to. You think that's sufficient? You think that's good enough? You come because you're obliged to, or do you come because you want to? And when you come to Mass, do you just exist at Mass and complain if Mass goes over an hour? God forbid we spend more time in our prayer and praise of God. Do we come and exist at Mass, or do we come and assist at Mass? And it's up to the individual to make that determination, make that distinction, to make that effort. And if you do, then you can reap the benefits that are offered to you by the good Lord and His goodness. So find out my sins, be sorry for my sins, make up my mind not to sin again. It's called the firm purpose of amendment. That means we have to do away with all persons, places, and things that will lead us into sin. That's a tough thing to do sometimes, especially we who creatures are of habit want to hold on to things that are little pacifiers that we give ourselves. But if you really want to prove your love for God, then give those things up. This is part of that, if you love me, keep my commandments, and if you want to be my disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. There are certain things that we have to let go of. And if you do, then you can have the blessings that are offered. Make up my mind not to sin again. So many people, they go to confession, and then, they don't make a firm purpose of amendment. They don't think of that when they go to confession. I'm going to try, by God's grace, to avoid all unnecessary occasions of sin and to abide in His grace and let His grace abide in me. It's important here for us not to get discouraged, though. That's one of the favorite tools and playgrounds of the devil. The playground is a two-sided coin called discouragement and presumption. Don't be a victim of that. When that thought comes into your mind, do away with it. We don't presume on God's grace, nor do we despair on His grace, but we make every effort to make good use of His grace. Tell our sins to the priest. Small price to pay for what we get in return. And who cares what the priest thinks? Care what God thinks. The priest is just an instrument, like you, weak, has to go to confession in the seminary, and afterwards, the priest is encouraged to go to confession at least once a week. Who cares what he thinks? But let's care what God thinks and know and trust the good Lord enough to make good use of the institution that we need in order to make progress. To be not only spiritually sound, but psychologically sound. The world knows that we need to unburden ourselves. Why do you think there are such things as psychologists and psychiatrists that we have to go tell our problems to? Well, you have something greater in the sacrament of confession, and it doesn't cost you but a little bit of shame to tell on yourself. But care what God thinks. He already knows. He just wants to know you're sorry, and He wants to forgive you more than you want forgiveness. And then do the penance the priest gives you. Some people put energy and effort to complain about penance. Whatever the penance is, it can't be anywhere in comparison to the punishment that we deserve. But if we say it humbly, it has that much benefit to us to deal with an awful lot of restitution due to our sins and purgatory time if we do so humbly. Be it ever so big or so small, it doesn't matter. So those five things that are necessary to make a good confession, along with the penance, you make sure you have an attitude of gratitude. You thank God for this grace and this gift. I know there's a little anxiety when we go into confession, but when you walk out, what is it that you feel but free? Because you are. By God's goodness and grace, you're free from your fallen human nature, from fault and failing, from sin, and from the judgment due to sin on account of His goodness. Not because we deserve it, but because He who loves us wants us to have that peace, which can only come from Him. It says in the gospel today, while the scribes, they said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." Far too often, too many of us take too much effort in our thoughts about what other people are thinking or doing, and we allow those thoughts to distract us from our purpose. Look at our Lord's response to those scribes and Pharisees. Which is easier to say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and walk"? And for that He says, "But why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts?" See, God knows what we think already. So let us put every effort to be of good heart, to glorify God who has given such power and such benefit and such grace to man, so that we may make good use of his goodness and his grace, and we can abide in his peace, not only in time, but from time to eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.